Unto you, Father, shall the gathering of your people be. We thank you. Thank you for the praises that have gone before you and how you have directed us this morning. Thank you for the different ministrations talking about your power, your grace, your love, the great dimension of your love towards us. Father, we appreciate this and we bless your holy name. Father, I reckon there's no better thing than to receive from you. And we have been receiving from you since the beginning of this service. It is your word, you, my Lord, that said that man will not live by just bread, but rather that we will live by the word, every word that comes from your mouth. I pray that you please, by the Spirit, bring into our remembrance again some of the things that you want us to know to prepare us for this week, but more importantly, to prepare us for the coming of Jesus, that we may meet you with joy when you come, that we may be equipped and strengthened in our spirit. We thank you this morning. Please be present. The different burdens and all the things that will not allow us to receive your word this morning, Father, we pray that it will please you to remove them. Mm-hmm. Be they problems, distractions, mm-hmm. whatever it is, old foundations of doctrine, anything. Your love is greater than all of these things, Lord. Pray that we would discover your divine love, mm-hmm. that thing that pulls the heart towards Jesus alone. Help us, Father, in leaving this service to be at least this much, a tad bit closer to you, better than when we came in this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Everything we've done this morning has almost preempted the sermon already. The song, all of this is for your glory, O Lord. The song that we just heard, it is no longer I that lives, that basically reiterates Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, I'm alive, although I'm crucified, but it's not really me. It's Christ who lives in me. And what you see right now is a life lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And verse 21 there says, we do not set aside the grace of God, that if righteousness had come by the law, then grace would have been in vain. Essentially, that scripture and the song reminds us that the death and the resurrection of Jesus works something glorious, something, and this begins to tie into what I want to briefly talk about this morning. Something that is a victory for us Christians within us. It works within us the great grace to do what the Lord has called us to do. It is no longer I that lives. Because of Christ who is in me, I am the kind of person that Christ wants me to be to the world, to his Father. It is no longer I that lives. So we thank the Lord. We do not set aside his grace. But the purpose of this sermon, as always, while we were yet on earth, the Bible says, exhort one another today while the date has not changed. It says, while the day is today. That means if you know something that is good for preparing the brethren, preparing the soul, don't wait till tomorrow. If you know it on the 23rd, don't wait till the 24th. If you know it on the 24th, don't wait till the 25th, because tomorrow can be too late. Exhort one another today while the day is today, so that what? So that none of us will fall into what? You don't defer exhortation till tomorrow, because Satan is relentless. He does not defer his temptation till tomorrow. So also all of us must be actively helping one another to keep on our toes, so that paraventure will just finish that race. We'll just finish. And we're going to touch on that a bit this morning. So today I want to talk about walking on this way with Jesus. Just simply walking with Jesus Christ. And it's just going to be a study again. We read last week where John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord, kept saying, repent, repent, repent. And the foundation of last week is there's a serious need to examine our ways, to confess our sins, to admit ourselves for who we are, right? And then doing that in such humility for the repentant sinner, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will come. That we cannot layer righteousness on a foundation of unrepentance. The way that the apostle puts last week's sermon was more like, can we say that grace should abound? Can we abide in sin in Romans 6:1 and say that grace should abound? It was essentially pointing out that there's a need really to prepare the heart, to plow the heart, to be very honest with God about who you are, to be very, very honest with the Lord about who you are. The example of repentance and penitence in the Bible, example, I think another scripture puts it as the meek, Psalm 19, the contrite heart and the meek spirit, the Lord will not despise. Psalm 51, I think. So there's to our generation that is predisposed to be arrogant, academic, we are disposed to be opinionated. This is the generation to tone all of that down and be broken in the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says that the Lord will exalt, resist the proud, but the humble he will raise up in due time. And I'm praying, we all need to pray for our generation. There's been an increase of learning, but the humility of obedience is missing. Every generation has its challenges. This is the challenge of our, there's so much technology, so much increase in learning that the simplicity of the gospel is at times missing. The message of the cross is despised. It's barbaric. But as Christians, Romans 1:16, this is exact power of God unto salvation for anyone that believes. The Lord has not changed his methods. What worked in the night? We are no wiser than the sinners of 1930-something. The Satan has not grown older. It's the same Satan and the same human heart, which is desperately wicked. And who can understand it except for the discerning of the light of God in his word? We are fighting the same enemy. And the weapon of our warfare is the same. It's not carnal. It's powerful. Nothing has changed. We are not more sophisticated. Our sins are not more sophisticated than this. God has seen it all. And he has procured one solution for that sin, the blood of Jesus. It's still the cross. In the age where we bemoan violence, the solution to the crisis of mankind is still the cross of Jesus Christ. Increasingly, it's becoming more and more foolish in the light of understanding enlightenment. But Romans 1:16 warns us that we should ignore the foolishness because it's pleased the Lord that it's by the foolishness of this preaching that souls will be saved. So it's still the same part we said last week. Repent. If you know, you must know yourself to be in need of Jesus before he said, behold, I stand on the door and I knock. Revelations 4:20. Anyone who will open the door is the one I will come in. So today's sermon is walking with the Lord, and it has to do with choices that we have to make as Christians. Because the point of this message, encourage my exhortation this morning, is that brothers and sisters, we have choices to make as Christians. Ultimately, we have to elevate our walk with Jesus from the theory to the practical. We have to elevate from the doctrinal to the very pragmatic, because ultimately Christ is not interested in what our head knows about something, but is interested in what that which we know, how it has impacted our heart. The proof of doctrine is the action that it produces. We cannot, says Paul, say grace, 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 and what we show is sin. Actually, the writer, the elder John, the whole book of 1 John, that was the conundrum that 1 John, the elder John, dealt with. You cannot be in darkness and say you're in the light. You cannot hate your brother and say you love God. You can, you know, such dichotomies, clear distinctions, disconnects between profession and walking with the Lord. And as Christians in our age, I think it's good that we hear this, that it matters. How we use what we hear matters. What matters is not the hearing of it. It's how in the last 20-something years, every sermon has impacted you as a person. Sermons are not meant to comfort us alone. The best sermons are the ones that charge us and challenge us to run to Jesus Christ. Any sermon that makes you know that you're unworthy is also the sermon that will make you grasp for he that is worthy and able to help. When the man that climbed the sycamore tree, what's his name? Zacchaeus. When he heard the gospel, the response was, oh my, I know I'm a tax collector. I'm going to return everything I've ever stolen. Nobody ever told him, go and return. But there's the effect of true teaching that makes you want to be a better person, that makes you want to be like Jesus Christ. It's the proof. It's not the Bible that said it. It's people that said that the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I challenge us to receive and assess how we are being transformed. Do not be hearers alone, deceiving yourselves, but doers of the works. May the Lord help us as we pop up. So I wanted to really briefly talk on how difficult the reality of the Christian walk, walking with Jesus. And I thank the Lord that the Bible did not deceive us. In Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read verse 13 and 14, something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And it's the way that many people take. 14, but narrow is the gate. And then the word that caught me there was difficult is the way that leads to life. The way that will take us to where we want to be with Christ, Jesus our Lord himself is warning us here that way is not likely to be easy. Then the shocking thing, he said there are few people who find such ways. John chapter 14, verse 16 is the truth and the fact. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes through me, to the Father, except through me. And it's very important that is established, that Jesus is the way. And once that is established, the practical outworking of the doctrine of the way is what Jesus is saying in 13 and 14. Having walked through that way, pass through that gate, who is Jesus? The continuous path and your choices as a Christian in order to get to life, they are difficult. And we all know we have choices. Some of them, we have chosen to choose the easier things, the ones that are more convenient. But Peter, was it Proverbs 4:16? You were pointing out a few proverbs yesterday to us. That proverb twice, it's so important. The Bible says it twice. It says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but it ends in destruction. May by the grace of God, we will not take that way in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is the very way of destruction. But Christ here in Matthew 7 is saying to us that I understand that this way that I'm calling you to is very, very, very difficult. In fact, if you flip back to Matthew chapter 5, right, from verse 3 to 10, the Lord began to say, blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the kingdom of God. It means this way might entail a poverty of spirit. In a generation where we think until you're happy and sprite and you're always, you know, happy, joyful, that's the evidence of being filled with the spirit. No, it's saying here that there's a blessedness in the poverty of spirit because such are those who will see the kingdom of God. So it's not, everything is not as it appears. We think that if you have a reason to mourn, then that must be evidence that you are in the wrong way. But no. He said, blessed are those who mourn today. At times we think that when you are meek and everybody seems to trample over you like they did Christ, that you must be on the wrong way because a Christian must be a champion. But no, the difficult and the meek path, that is the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You think that if you see a man like John the Baptist carrying a body saying, I want to be righteous, you think, no, this man must not have grace. He has missed the way, because the way of grace is always joyful. No. He that mourns, he that everything, you're hungry for righteousness. He said, blessed are you. Why? Because you will be filled. Unless there's this requisite hungry to be transformed like Jesus, the chances that you will not get it. And the Lord is saying, blessed is the man who is like this. Don't let anybody persuade you that if you wake up, if you're lying and you're waking up saying, Lord, heal me from lying, I want to live a life, that's a bad thing. It means you don't understand grace. Low battery. That's not true. Blessed are the merciful. So if you're a pacifist, people think no. It doesn't mean no. It's tough. These are difficult things. He said, those the pure in heart will see God, and the peacemakers. You're trampled, but you're always advocating for peace. You're always forgiving. People will say, I'm a Christian. It doesn't mean I'm a footmat. Yeah, well, that is true. Very true. But when you see someone who, for the sake of Jesus, is ready to be footmatted or footmatted upon, don't think that he's foolish because he's blessed. And those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they are also blessed. To Matthew 7, Christ is saying to us, don't take the easy way. Don't take the way, take the difficult way. When you're walking on the difficult way, you will know. When you're taking the easy way, you can be on cruise control, the highway. But if your path to church, to the church building every day, is through the street, you know, when GPS offers you two options. If you take the street, that means you have to apply your brake. You have to know how to negotiate. You have to know how to look at this. You can't slip off. But now they are doing self-automation or whatever car that you can even sleep. The highway is easy. But the Lord said, I have not placed you on the highway. The way to me, the path of life that leads to life, is through the street. You will need to watch out for the signs. You must know when to yield. You must know when to stop. You must know when to accelerate. If someone will curse you out, you find tailgating, you all kinds of things before you can get to church. He's saying that is the way of. So if you find your way, that your way to church every day is through 95, that is not the real way. Practical Christian living. Remember, my exhortation today is, let's elevate our faith from the theoretical and the doctrinal to the very practical. The Sermon on the Mount is very practical. You will feel it. You cannot accidentally walk into the difficult way. If you accidentally walk into the difficult way, the chances are you will quit, because you will notice immediately that this is different. But you can accidentally walk into the easy way and you just be on cruise control. So you cannot accidentally serve Jesus, my brothers and sisters. You must make choices. This whole verse and exhortation starts with enter. If Christ, this was the way himself saying that you should enter, that means he's waiting on you to make a choice. Christianity is a choice, everyday choice. And you know the choices in your lives. You know how many times you've had a choice between picking something that's easy to accomplish and something that's extremely righteous, but it's going to cost you, and you've picked the things that are easy to accomplish. And I'm not really necessarily talking about wrong things here. I'm talking about things that are right, but will not necessarily enhance your walk with Jesus Christ. As long as we're making easy choices, the growth we are praying for will not come. Praise the Lord. I'd like to close the sermon this morning by just giving a brief illustration. I was really curious about the man Demas because I think his life just demonstrates a little bit what Christ is calling us to. We heard his name just 3 times in scriptures. Now, I don't know the sequence of the mention because I don't know how the writings of Paul were arranged chronologically. I don't know which book happened before which book. But I think the sequence of his life and his Christian testimony is quite illustrative. When we heard about him the first time, or one of the few times, he was described in Philemon 24 as a co-worker. I think to be a co-worker with an apostle, that's pretty complimentary. The next time, when we hear about him, the second mention, not chronologically, by the way, just sequentially, was in Colossians 4:11. And there it says, the description was, he was describing Luke. He said, Luke, the beloved physician. Then he just said, Demas greets you or thereabout. Imagine someone saying, Brother Bumi introducing me and Brother Peter. And he say, Peter, oh, my right-hand man, he's such a blessing to the congregation. He's, oh, beloved Peter. Ankule, they greet you. I think he's going to get a phone call after that. He said, Peter, oh, wonderful Peter. Oh, I commend to you, Peter, my beloved Peter. Say, Ankule, they greet you. I mean, I'm going to wonder who this brother Kunle is. The sermon, I mean, my thought will not be on Peter. It will be on who is this Kunle? I mean, if you are smart in processing information, that was what Paul did there. Look, the beloved physician. And then Demas greets you. Especially if prior to that we've heard him describe Demas as my co-worker. And then the last time we hear about him, 2 Timothy 4:9-10, is Demas have forsaken me because he has loved the present world. What a testimony. My question today is, as you look at your Christian walk, what's the testimony of Jesus about your walk with him from a practical perspective? Did you start as my beloved and then you went to my co-worker? And now Christ is saying, I don't hear your voice often again. You used to be very practical about obeying me. Now, I don't hear you much anymore. I'd like to end this sermon by reading the closing in Matthew chapter 7, how the Lord closed the Sermon on the Mount. I think if there's anything that we need to hear, it's always what Christ has to say. Beware of doctrines, my brothers and sisters. I think it was Jones that said, he that does righteousness is righteous. It's not on the doctrinal level. The impact of the cross of Jesus is practical outworking of righteousness and the transformation of lives. Therefore, whoever, from verse 24, Matthew 7, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will let you know. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain will come, the flood and the winds will blow and beat on the house. It will not fall because it's founded on fact on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's like a foolish man. The rain will come and the rain will descend and the flood will come and the winds will blow and it will beat on that house. And that house will fall, and it will be a great fall. May our house of relationship with Jesus Christ never fall.
Amen.
I close out. One song came into my spirit from far, far away. I don't know, from a long time ago. I wrote the lyrics that I like to sing it if I feel I just. It says, it's not an easy way. We're traveling to heaven. It's not an easy way. I think it says, for many are the thorns. Anyway, for many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy way. But the Savior is with us. His presence gives joy every day. I pray in the name of Jesus that our Christian walk will be such that we're able to say that the Savior Jesus every day is the source of my joy and he's with me. I'm not making easy choices. The difficult ones, he's making it bearable. I pray that we will feel the nearness of the Lord Jesus, because this is true Christianity. Not what we do in our power, but what we're able to boast about in Jesus. That your testimony is that the reason I'm standing, despite all this difficulty, is because the Savior is near by me. No, it's not an easy road. No. And the songwriter repeats no twice, because he wants to affirm that when we shouldn't be on the Broadway, we shouldn't be Christians who are taking the easy Christian way. We should be where the few are. It's not an easy road. But Jesus walks with me and brightens my journey and lightens every heavy load. This should be a Christian testimony. Not because things are easy, but because Jesus is with us, we're able to bear this difficult way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Father, we thank you. May your word dwell within us, Lord. Please do not leave us alone, Lord. Please do not leave us alone. Do not leave us on broad roads. Give us the courage to walk with Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.